Good morning. Welcome to the Vineyard. My name is David Quaid. I'm one of the pastors here. We are so glad that you decided to start your New Year's off with us here. So excited to celebrate with you. I hope all of you had a really awesome Christmas. I certainly did. My wife and I, we have two young children. And when you have two young children, as some of you know, Christmas, holidays can just be a bit hectic. I mean, maybe my idea of a great Christmas is a little bit tainted, but as long as my wife and I can have just a couple quiet moments where the kids are sleeping and we take zero trips to the emergency room, I'm just calling that like an awesome Christmas. So it was a really great Christmas for us. I'm thankful. But seriously, as parents, Nikki and I are just trying to point our very ordinary life back to a very extraordinary God. And Christmas is such a great time to do that as a family. So we spent this last month teaching my three-year-old daughter the true meaning of Christmas, you know, the birth of a Savior. I'm so grateful that our children's ministry provided us with these Christmas activities. It's such an awesome reminder that they are so invested in this church, and they're so invested in parents like me that need to be equipped to lead my children in love and in truth. So I'm so grateful for them. Our children's ministry is just one of the many examples of God working through the ministries here at BC to show the love of Christ, even to our children. In a moment, we're going to be receiving our offering, so can I have the ushers please come to the front? I'd like to take a moment and just thank you for choosing to give to God through BC. We have ministries that operate every single week, and these ministries are made possible through your giving. So thank you for sacrificing so we can continue to serve Phoenix and communities around the world. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for gathering here today. Lord, we thank you for joining with us. God, we thank you for the opportunity to give back what you've so graciously given to us so that we can continue to shine the light of Jesus in Phoenix and around the world. Lord, I ask that you take this money and that you multiply it for your kingdom. We love you and we worship you with our finances. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If we could live 2016 all over again, if we could change a response, a decision, something we did or didn't do in 2016, how many of us would do something differently? I mean, if we're honest, that's most of us, right? I mean, I know I would. And the reason we feel like that is because at some point in 2016, we made a mistake. We failed. We fell short. We gave it our best shot, but our best shot just didn't work out. We studied really hard for that test, but we just couldn't pass it. We worked really hard at our marriage, but that same issue keeps coming up. We worked really hard at our job, but we were laid off anyway. We worked really hard, very intentional about parenting our children, but we felt like failures. We were disappointed when they made the wrong decision. You see, history has a lesson for us here. We are all going to fail at some point. It's not a matter of if we're going to fail. It's just simply a matter of when. Speaking of failure, how about them Cardinals? Yeah. I'm a Cardinals fan, so relax, guys. Don't send me emails. I'm a big sports fan, particularly football. I watch the games on Sunday. I play fantasy football. I read the articles, etc. But one of the things I really enjoy about sports in general are these stories that come out about the underdog, about a team or a player that just have odds stacked against them. Some of you may know the story of Roy Riegels. Roy played for the University of California in the late 1920s. In 1929, Cal played Georgia Tech in the Rose Bowl. Now, the Rose Bowl at the time was the biggest bowl game in college football. Roy was their star roving center, which is today's linebacker. Georgia Tech, during a scoreless game, was on their 30-yard line. They handed the ball off to Jack Stumpy Thomason. That is his name. And he fumbled the ball. Roy picked up the football and began to run and was suddenly knocked away from Georgia Tech's line. Roy began a 69-yard fumble return. The only problem was he was going the wrong way. By the time a teammate had gotten his attention and he'd gotten turned around, Georgia Tech overwhelmed him on the 1-yard line. The next play, Cal decided to punt. That punt was blocked, recovered in the end zone for a safety. 2-0, Georgia Tech takes the lead. After that play, Roy Riegels was so distraught. In the locker room at halftime, he said to his coach, "Coach, I can't do it. I've ruined you, I've ruined myself, and I've ruined the University of California. I couldn't face that crowd to save my life." Coach Price responded by saying, "Roy, get up and go back out there. The game is only half over." And Roy did go back out there. He played a great second half, blocking a punt of his own. But it ended up not being enough. Cal lost that day, painfully, 8-7. They lost by 1 point. And from that day forward, Roy Riegels set his name in sports history. But I don't think that's the way that he had imagined it. It was in the headlines that he received his nickname, Roy Wrong Way Riegels. Now, this kind of mishap, this kind of mistake, would have ruined many people. But Roy surprisingly owned up to his mistake and was gracious with people his whole life as he was asked about this Rose Bowl blunder. He had this to say in his later years: "I gained true understanding of life from my Rose Bowl mistake. I learned you can bounce back from mistakes and view it as just something adverse that happened to you." Roy realized that the biggest, most embarrassing 15 seconds of his life didn't define who he was. Yes, it happened, but he understood that life is far more than our mistakes. Here's the truth. We are all going to face setbacks at some point, difficulties in life. That is just life. That is a guarantee. You see, but this message, it isn't about the falling down. It's about the standing back up. There's a Japanese proverb that says this: fall down 7 times, stand up 8. The Bible says it this way in Proverbs 24:16: "For though the righteous fall 7 times, they rise again." As we begin this new year, I want to look at our next chance to stand up. I want us to look at making the most of 2017. What is God's way of making the most of this new year? We may feel like we spent last year running the wrong direction. We spent last year getting knocked down. But we don't have to let that define us. We can have a fresh start this year. We get another chance, another shot to succeed, another chance to stand up. And here is where we start. Here is the key. We must have a plan for 2017. We can't approach 2017 with the idea of, "Gee, I just hope this year is better than last." We must have a plan. And the Bible has some wisdom for us on planning. It says this in Proverbs 16:9. "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." You see, planning is part of God's will for your life. Proverbs 17:24 says, "The discerning sets his face toward wisdom, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth." The ends of the earth is just a reference to every direction. The fool finds himself unable to focus because he's trying to look everywhere at once. It's so difficult to focus on one thing when you're trying to watch everything. In other translations, that word "sets" is translated as "aims." The discerning aims towards wisdom. I like that translation because it really gets our mind on the idea that we have to be aiming at something. We must set a goal, an objective, something we are aiming at, a target. Have you set a personal target yet for 2017, or are you merely hoping for something better than last year. Part of your plan should be really getting involved during this 50 Days to a Blessed Life campaign that we're starting next week. Pastor Brian has been challenging us to do three things. One is to not miss a service. Two is to join a small group. And three is to invite someone you know. I'm so excited about what God is going to do through this campaign. This is something you do not want to miss, and it should be a part of your plan for 2017. It's a great way to start the year. Before we go any further, let's pray. Let's ask God to show us his plan for us this year. Let's pray. God, would you just speak to us? Speak personally to our hearts about a plan, the plan you have for us. Help us to see where this year we can stand up where we have fallen. Lord, I just pray for everyone in this room that you'd soften our hearts to be receptive to your words and that you'd speak through me. Lord, we welcome your presence here. In your name we pray. Amen. So how do we make the most of 2017? Well, the first way to make the most of 2017 is we take responsibility. Now, this idea of responsibility isn't necessarily popular in our culture today. But a matter of fact, if I'm thinking about it, it's never really been popular. You know, the thing you normally do is when you're blamed for something, what we do is we take out our trusty pointer finger and we send the blame anywhere else, right? Can't be our fault. If something goes wrong, it couldn't possibly be on us. We've heard people say things like, this happened because of my childhood, my education level, my friends, my kids, my spouse, the dog, and of course, the government. Here are a few lawsuits that are classic examples of people passing the blame. I tripped over my own toddler in your furniture store, and I broke my ankle, awarded $80,000. It gets better. I slipped on a soft drink. I threw at my boyfriend in your restaurant, and I broke my tailbone, awarded $113,500. I locked myself into your garage while robbing you and couldn't get out because you were on vacation, awarded $500,000. Famously, I spilled hot coffee on my lap, and I burned myself, awarded $2,860,000. And my personal favorite, Red Bull didn't give me wings. That was a class action lawsuit, and it was awarded $13 million. Shocking. These cases were incredible failures and classic examples of individuals not taking responsibility for their own stupidity, their own mistakes. Can we just agree, church, that we don't want to be a church like that? The Bible speaks against this mentality. Paul in the book of Galatians says this, for each one should carry their own load. The fact is we don't know what's going to happen in 2017. You know, there are some things that are just out of our control. But we can take responsibility for ourselves, for our own actions and reactions. You see, we must remember that our actions and our reactions, they're our choice. There are three kinds of people when it comes to taking responsibility. There are accusers, there are excusers, and there are choosers. Accusers blame everybody else for their problem, right? It can't be my fault. It has to be someone. Their favorite phrase, it wasn't me, their fault, right? They pass the blame. And then there are excusers. These people always have an excuse, a reason, for why they are or where they are at life. If this would have happened to me, then I could have accomplished this. If this wouldn't have happened to me, then I would be able to do this. One of my favorite excuses found in the Bible is in Proverbs 22:13. It says, the lazy person claims, there's a lion out there. If I go outside, I might be killed. You know, a lion, really? That may sound ridiculous, but if we're honest, we have all made ridiculous excuses at one time or another. But the truth is, when we procrastinate or we simply just don't want to do something, any excuse will do, right? I mean, we all know accusers and excusers. So there are accusers and there are excusers. And lastly, there are choosers. Choosers choose to assume responsibility for their own life. They choose their direction. It's not dictated by the next bump in the road or by the changing of the wind. And this is God's intention for us, that we choose to be a chooser. Church, can we just say this out loud together? Participation activity. It's going to be on the screen. One, two, three. Choose to be a chooser. Very good. One more time. Choose to be a chooser. Very nice. So how do we make the most of 2017? We take responsibility and we choose to be a chooser. Secondly, we take inventory. This means we evaluate all of our experiences. After we have an experience, it's important that we take inventory. Now here's the good news. Regardless of what happened last year, what we do have going for us this year is those experiences, good or bad. But the key is that we take those experiences and we actually apply them. And this gives us a better shot at success next time. Thomas Edison was once asked, "Isn't it a shame that with the tremendous amount of work you have done, you haven't been able to get any results?" Edison replied, "Results? Why, I've gotten lots of results. I know several thousand things that won't work." Edison did a great job taking inventory and understanding that his failures, they weren't wasted. His many successes are a testament to the idea that you can actually be good at failing. When we take inventory of all of our experiences, we become good at failing. Now, as we take inventory of our life, we need to ask ourselves three very important questions. The first question is, what have I learned? Some people make the same mistake 20, 30 times, and they never ask themselves the question, what have I learned? And what do we see? We see those people making the same mistakes over and over again, and it is painful to watch. So what did you learn from 2016? I'm going to challenge you to sit down sometime and think that through. Because life lessons are experienced first, that's true, but the lessons aren't truly learned until we ask the question, what have I learned? And we need to reflect on that answer. You see, it's easy to miss the point of the life lesson if we're sleeping through class. The second question we need to ask when taking inventory is, what are my assets? What are the things in my life that I have going for me? Maybe it's health, freedom, intellect, your finances, relationships, our small groups, your prayer life. We ask the question, what are my assets? And these are the things that we can be thankful for and we can fall back on when we fail in another area. And lastly, when we take inventory, we ask the question, who can help? You know, this can be tough for us to admit, but we are not meant to do this alone. We need a friend for accountability and support. And this is a great example why being involved in a small group is so important. Community. Real community is found in small groups, and it is a huge part of a successful plan for 2017. So, to recap, how do we make the most of 2017? We take responsibility, we take inventory, and thirdly, we act in faith. The Bible says that the key to changing anything is faith. If we want change, real change in our life, we must act in faith. Jesus said this in Matthew 9:29. He said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. Jesus is saying that we tend to get out what we expect. So this begs the question, are we looking at this year and writing it off as a loss already? Are we saying things like, it's just going to be another tough year? I wish it could just be 2018 already. Those kinds of phrases. There's this quote by Henry Ford, and it used to be a screensaver on my phone because I had to remember that negative expectancy is most likely just going to produce a negative outcome. And it says this, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Henry Ford said that. Remember, Jesus said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. Therefore, we need to start expecting more. We need to grab onto the hope that we all have in our heart and start expecting more. Now, this doesn't mean that life is going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that life is going to be fair. But we must act in faith because it keeps our eyes on the target. It keeps us focused on a goal. One metric for measuring the potential success of a person is their ability to see a failure and learn from that failure. You see, to build on where they have failed, not run. Thomas Edison was a pretty historic figure, right? He was an inventor. He accumulated 2,332 patents worldwide for his inventions. But one of his most famous inventions was the light bulb. Light bulb. If you didn't know, you learned something this year. Congratulations. That's great. And while he was inventing the light bulb, he came across this problem where he could get the light bulb to light up. He could get that part done, but it was only for a moment. It would light up, and then it would quickly burn out. He couldn't figure out how to get it to burn longer. So this involved many attempts, numerous attempts, at trying to get this thing to stay lit for any period of time. And Edison had this to say about his many attempts. I speak without exaggeration when I say that I have constructed 3,000 different theories in connection with the electric light. Each one of them reasonable and apparently true. Yet, only in 2 cases did my experiments prove the truth of my theory. 2 out of 3,000. That's not a great success rate. But the outcome of the failures was greater than any failure he had faced before. Like any pioneer, like any good pioneer, Edison modeled this idea that we are to learn from our failures and not repeat them. He didn't quit the first time he failed. He didn't wallow in his past. You see, Edison was a great example of being focused on his next opportunity to succeed. Hear me when I say this, church. God doesn't want us to wallow in our past. He wants us to get on with our future. He doesn't want us looking in the rearview mirror of life, looking back at our mistakes. He wants us looking forward through our windshield of where he is going to take us. How do we do that? How do we keep that in mind? By making plans, by keeping our eyes on the target, and by acting in faith. Let's look at Proverbs 69 just one more time because it has something to say about planning and faith. Proverbs 69 says this, "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." Did you know that setting goals is actually a faith activity? As Christians, when we set goals, what we're saying is, I believe that God wants me to do this thing by this time. That sounds like a plan, doesn't it? Remember that goals, they set us in a direction. They keep us focused on a target. Here's an interesting statistic for you. Only 3 out of every 100 adults sit down and actually write out their personal goals. Statistics say that those 3 people are 80% more likely to accomplish their goals because they took the time to write them out. Why is it that we spend hours and sometimes days planning things like our 3-year-old's birthday party, our Black Friday route? Yeah. Or our New Year's Eve party. Those people aren't here right now. I think they're still sleeping. So why don't we set goals? Well, usually the answer is very simple. Fear of failure. The real failure is not failing to reach all your goals. None of us reach all of our goals. The real failure here is not setting any goals. So where do you need to act in faith this year? What areas have you not been expecting enough or expecting bad things, and that's just what you keep on getting? There's one thing that will keep you from acting in faith this year. It's going to be worrying about what other people are thinking, worrying about failing in the eyes of other people. The Bible calls this kind of worry a trap. Proverbs 29:25 says this, "Fear of man will prove to be a snare, a trap. But whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." When we live life to please other people, we find ourselves confined to 8 billion opinions of what other people think we should do. But when we put our faith in God, when we trust in the Lord, we let God define our life, our success, our goals, our plans. When we do this, we go straight to the source of what is good and true. And the Bible says that we are kept safe in that. You see, setting goals will keep us striving to act in faith. And if we want to make the most of 2017, we need to act in faith. The next way that we want to make the most of 2017 is we need to refocus our thoughts. Now, at this point in the message, you're probably already replaying 2016 in your mind, and you have found a couple areas where maybe you've fallen down or ran the wrong way. And there is a desire in your heart to change something. And when we have a desire to change, we need to remember to refocus our thoughts to match that change. The Bible talks about our thoughts and the importance of what we take in. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. You know, you've probably heard Pastor Brian say this before. The way you think determines the way you feel, and the way you feel determines the way you act. If we want to change our actions, we must go back to the root of our actions and change the way we think. When our thoughts change, our actions change with it. Romans 12:2 says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So how is our mind renewed? It's renewed by God through his word and through spending time in prayer. And this is how we learn what truth really is. Look at the way the psalmist says it in Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. This person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. The Bible says that when we really value God's word and we spend time in it, we become solid, unshakable, and nourished like a tree next to a stream. So how do we meditate on God's word? Well, there's a couple ways to do this. One way is to take a scripture or a verse and turn it into a prayer to God. Let's use Romans 12:2. We just read it. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So the prayer, for example, may go something like this. Lord, I know that you've called me to be different from the world. Would you renew my mind so I can see your truth in my life? Will you help me see your will in all situations and help me find joy in being transformed by your amazing love? Amen. Something like that. Another way to meditate on God's word is to mentally chew on it, like a cow. We ruminate on it, chewing and chewing until it really breaks down. We take God's word and it feeds us. So chewing it is a great way to get its full nutrient value. The act of ruminating can be done by reading a scripture over and over again. It can also be done by peeling the scriptures apart, asking questions like, what does it mean to you? What did it mean to them? What does it mean to God? What are the implications in my life now that I've heard this truth? And what does it teach me about God's character? And as we begin to fill our minds with God's word, it begins to change the way we think. And as the way we think changes, it changes the way that we act. Why? Because we stop seeing ourselves how other people see us, and we start seeing ourselves how God sees us. And that is where the real change takes place. Let me just give you one more thing for 2017. We trust God. Amidst all of these tips that I've given you about making the most of this year, please don't miss what I'm saying. Everything I've said so far falls apart. It falls to the floor if we don't trust God and we depend only on our own will. Albert Einstein had this to say about change. If you always do what you always did, you will always get what you always got. If we want change, if we want change, we must actually change something. Albert Einstein also said this, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result is the definition of insanity. You guys know, a bunch of crazy people, insanity, cool. You know I just quoted Einstein twice. I mean, that guy's a pretty smart guy, isn't he? He's got some wise things to say. Here's the point. We don't get a fresh start by only trying harder. We get a fresh start by trusting God. The Bible talks about this in Zechariah. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. God said this. That's a quote. Now here's the thoughts I can hear almost audibly around the room right now, because I thought to myself, well, if I was just a little bit younger, this year could be different. If I didn't have kids, or if I had kids, this year could be a year of change. If I didn't have this job, or I had a different job, I could really make changes in my life. The Bible is going to disagree with you on this idea that it's too late, or the timing just isn't right. 2 Corinthians says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, and the new is here. You see, our God, he specializes in new beginnings. The Bible says that when we follow Jesus, we are born again. And that means we get another chance to start over. We get a fresh start. Every day, his mercy is new. So I have to ask, have you surrendered your life to Christ? Because if so, our King Jesus has overcome everything that we feel is holding us back from this year being the greatest it could possibly be. Jesus has overcome our selfishness, our pride, our fear, our greed, our insecurity. So we must lay these things to the side. We must hand these things over and pursue Jesus without those things holding us back. Jesus gives us a chance at a totally fresh start. And the Bible says that not only will we find Jesus if we seek him with our whole heart, but he will give us the desires of our heart. Is the desire of your heart to change? Is your desire to make this year the best it can possibly be? If so, Jesus is your ticket to new life and new opportunity. And that is available right now. So to recap, how do we make the most of 2017? We take responsibility, we take inventory, we act in faith, we refocus our thoughts, and most importantly, we trust God. Okay, I know I've talked a lot about football, and it won't always be like this, but I'm gonna talk about football one more time. Even if you don't like football, I promise you, you're gonna love this clip. Let's play that clip.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
50. I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I don't want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Now get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right, let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground, just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go. Show me good effort. That away, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
Am I to the 20 yet?
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Rock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. Just resting a second.
You gotta keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on, keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm about out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength, but don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going, you hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit! No! Keep going! Keep going! Keep going! Don't quit! Don't quit! Don't quit! Brock Kelly, you don't quit! Keep going! Keep going! Go, Brock Kelly! You don't quit on me! No! You keep going! You keep going! Go, Brock! Give more steps! Give more steps! Keep going! You keep going! Don't quit! Give me your heart! You can! You can!
I've got to do 50. I'll have any more.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field on your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
I weigh 160.
You know, sometimes in my life I try to protect myself by doing the easy things, by taking the safe route, by going through the motions, so I won't have to face failure. But here's what I've learned. By limiting myself, by minimizing my God-given capabilities, I'm limiting what I believe God is capable of. After reflecting on these seasons of taking the safe route, going through the motions, living in fear of failure, I've concluded that I just forget. I forget what's at stake. Not just for me, but for God's church, my friendships, my marriage, with my children. These are the things in my life that God has entrusted to me, and these are the areas of my life that are worth my very best. So I continually have to ask myself the question, in everything I do, is this your very best? Now, can I ask you that question? Are you giving God your job, your family, your children, your very best? When we are in our own death crawl of life, we have to push. Things will get hard, but they deserve our very best. Because with God, there is no limit to what we can accomplish. Church, can we just imagine for a moment a place where each person strives to do everything in their God-given ability, gives their very best. A place where we seek the Holy Spirit to guide us as we plan our steps for this new year. A place where we don't live in fear of failure, but we live with the idea that there's a possibility of another chance to stand up. As we begin this new year, my challenge to us as a church is to lay our successes and our failures at the foot of that cross. If we do this, we redefine what it means to fail. We redefine what it means to be successful. We adopt a new set of rules and standards. If we do this, we cannot truly fail because our success is defined by God. And He knows our beginning, and He knows our end, and He just wants us to trust Him. So here's the question. Are you trusting God right now? And are you willing to fight for what you know God wants you to do in 2017? Please stand. Can I have the ministry team please come to the front? You know, there are many of us in here, in this room, that felt like we spent 2016 just getting beat up, knocked down, running the wrong way, chasing after things that really, at the end of the day, don't matter. And I believe God wants to minister to you. I believe He's been speaking to you during this message about something very specific in your life, an area where you've fallen down in your life. But you know that God wants you to stand back up in that area. He wants you to overcome it. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to pray about that and ask God what He would have you do next. And once you have that, you write that down. Write it down. Remember it. Our God is an overcomer, and He wants to overcome all the hurts and pain in your life, all the failures of your life. He wants to, and He has. You just have to let Him. There's another group in here that I think God is ministering to very specifically right now. There's a group in here that really wants to make better financial decisions in 2017. Maybe you have a lingering debt that's been hindering your ability to serve, to give. God wants to speak to you about that. God also wants to speak to you about your spending habits. Maybe there's something like that that we really want to change in 2017. Can I just encourage you to write that goal down? To set yourself in a direction, to make a target for 2017 so that we don't just walk into 2017 hoping that it's better than last year, that we have a plan. We have ministry team members up here who would love to pray with you. If that's you, if I mentioned something that's really been tugging on your heart, they stand up here and they'd love to pray with you after service. So I'd invite you to come to the front. If you'd like prayer for anything else, maybe you have a healing that needs to be done or something in your family that you'd like prayer for, we'd love to pray for you up here. Let's ask God to speak to us and guide us as we go. Father, Lord, we just thank You for this opportunity to just gather here on the first day of 2017. God, we thank You for putting good things in our life. We thank You for entrusting us with good things that really deserve our very best. God, will You just highlight those things in our life where we need to really give our very best so that you can just launch us into a great new year. Lord, can you just help us to realize the importance of setting goals in 2017, that we see that planning really is what you want for us, and that you are worthy of, you are so worthy of our trust. I ask, God, that you guide us as we follow you. I ask for your protection and strength. And Lord, most of all, your boldness as we move into this new year with a plan. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Happy New Year. Don't forget to say hi to someone around you. Have a great week.